This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
People turn and stare. I really don't care.
You're back.
Boy.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart when you're not there.
Martin's there, you're there, that's perfect.
I'll stage a ballet on a tabletop. Command performer.
So, Brian, give us the play-by-play of what Martin is doing as the show has begun.
Martin is eating. He's scheduled to be on at this time, but he's eating a chicken wing right now.
I mean, he only has to work 2 hours a day in radio, and now, like, at least 6 minutes of that is, you know, doing chicken wings. We are broadcasting live from the Schnucks South Oaks, 5780 South Lindbergh Boulevard. In fact, if you know where the Bartolino's is, Bartolino South, we're just about a driver away from that. Come on by and say hello. Martin Kilcoyne, Frank Cusimano, and we're joined by Dan O'Neill also. We're going to be talking hockey and life with Dan. At 12 o'clock, Charles Marlowe will come in. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to have the radio show, the baseball radio show. And is Bob going to join you at all from Florida?
I don't believe so.
Jim and Brian will be conducting that, and it's an outstanding show, I may add. Dan O'Neill, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Frank. Am I on?
Yes, sir. You're on.
I'm good.
Turn up his headphones. There we go. So I guess the Blues are entitled, Dan, to lose a game once every 12 games, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, they played pretty well last night. Although the last two games, I think you've kind of seen a little bit of a drop-off in their game. And, you know, that's going to happen. You can't maintain that level of consistency and everything. But they're playing well. You know, they really started to play well before the streak. I mean, I think they were not overwhelmingly well, but the record-wise, I think they were like 6-4-1.
Right before the 11-game
streak,
yeah.
So, you know, and a couple of those games were games where they probably should have won. So they were starting to turn it around. So, that you know, hopefully they'll continue to play that way. You know, there's always the other shoe. I mean, even bad teams have winning streaks, and you know the last time they won 10 in a row. I know they just won 11, but the last time they won 10 in a row, which was 2002, they then won three of their next 15 games. So,
boy, and we're the wet blankets.
Yeah.
Usually,
well, I want to just prepare you
fair and balanced. I wanted to ask you, as somebody who's covered this team, been around this team. Isn't there always a little bit of trepidation? Like when things go really well, that you're still a little nervous, like, well, how's this going to end?
Yeah, there is, Martin, but, I mean, what team isn't? You know, I think that's pretty typical. It's not like – I mean, maybe that's not the case if you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan where you've won a bunch of cups.
Right.
Or, you know, most teams probably have some kind of history of things going wrong, you know.
You know,
I mean, obviously the Blues haven't won a Stanley Cup, and they've never gotten to the finish line. So, there's a little bit more of that here, maybe. But you know, in general, I think that's probably just true of any franchise.
What if this is just like a quick little aberration, and that Jordan Binnington is actually Bo Hart, and this is all going to go away? That would just be the worst thing ever. I mean, I hate to bring that up.
I wonder if his run,
hey,
though.
There's Bo Hart getting some milk over there.
I wonder if the equivalent. By the way, Frank, I had an excused absence for being late. I was protecting the food from Hockey Bob, who was not only eating it, he was offering it to other people. Now, that first of all, it's not your food to eat, and it's certainly not your food to offer up to these wonderful, nice ladies. They're welcome to it. You're not.
Yes.
I was doing my best.
I appreciate that.
I wonder, though,
By the way, why are you so dressed up?
I actually have a lunch meeting today.
Yes.
Well, I know we're out in public, of course. Okay. Frank's used to me sort of wearing my uniform. I have kind of a uniform that I wear every day.
Why didn't you say that to me, Frank? I mean,
how would you describe this?
It's a parrot polo.
A parrot polo on Dan O'Neill.
An optimistic polo.
Yeah, you have a fleece top, but it's white with tropical colored parrots all over. That's a first for me.
Stunning.
Stunning is the word he used.
Stunning. Yeah.
It's very refreshing.
All right, so go ahead. What was the question?
So the Bo Hart, and maybe Brian can look up how many at-bats we're talking before it tailed off. Because I feel like Bennington now at, 15, 16 starts, that's probably the equivalent of,
The Bo Hart
2 months,
reign?
2 months.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying I think he may have surpassed at this point. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Dominic Hasek, but I think he's proven that he belongs in the league.
Bo was batting .322 with a .437 slugging and a .366 on base through 40 games. It's 174 at-bats the rest of the season through his next 122 at-bats. He batted .213 with a .336.
All right, so one-fourth of a season. So I guess Bennington has not made it that far.
No, I don't think so, but I don't really think what they've done. I think Bennington's kind of the conduit for it, or the apex. But the team that was playing in front of Bennington, or has played in front of Bennington,
that's a great point,
is not the same team that was playing in front of Jake Allen for 3 months. So
Petro, Bomeister, guys who were playing poorly are now playing better.
As a team, they were playing a different kind of game. So he's played terrific, and but Jake Allen's played well his last couple times too. I mean, goalies go up and down. Very few of them are just like lights out all season long. So I think he's had a good run. But as long as they keep playing the way they're playing, I like the way he plays. He's not spectacular or anything. He's just very solid and aggressive. And if they keep playing the way they're playing, then he'd be effective.
What's your most interesting observation about Coach Craig Berube? Give us your time.
I like him. Well, less important than my observation really would be my son's, and he's a fan. So,
what's he say? Give us some insight.
He's just a straight shooter. You know, he's not a BSer. He knows what his responsibilities are, not just with coaching players, but with media and everybody and everything else. And he does them, and he doesn't complain. And on the other hand, he's completely honest with the players, doesn't sugarcoat stuff. And he's gotten them to play hard. You know, the 11-game streak's great, but they really started, as we were just talking about, they really started turning it around before that. And while when Berube came in, there wasn't like a night and day difference, but there was a gradual little bit of difference, a little bit of playing a little bit harder, playing a little bit more responsible, and it just took him a while to get it together. And I think that's where the Bennington thing came in. My son Keegan had a theory about this, which I adhere to, which is they really didn't know what they had with Bennington when he came up. You know, they had him for a while, didn't play him. He came in out of the bullpen a couple of times. wasn't especially impressive or anything. But then they finally had to start him a game to give Allen a break. And I still think they really didn't know what they had with him. And I think the players, whether consciously or subconsciously, decided, we got to, block every shot we can, and we got to play a really conscientious
that's an interesting
game. And they played that way, for two or three games because Berube stuck with the hot hand, and they won and they won and they won, and they finally figured out,
he's not very good in goal. We've got to really play well in front of him.
That's crap.
Saying they thought he wasn't good.
They didn't know.
They don't know what he was.
But we really got to take care of him. That's interesting. Good thought.
And I think there is something, too, when a guy starts to play well in goal, that collectively the team gets some confidence going. Instead of, and it's unfortunate for Jake, but a lot of times it's just the really bad goal at a really bad time or the breakaway that he doesn't stop can deflate the entire team. And I think Bennington makes a stop here, stop there, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe this kid, okay. And I think it collectively,
I agree.
The tide rises.
Well, and you need your, goalie, like you guys know, I mean, it's like pitching in baseball or the quarterback. You know, they always get way more credit than they probably deserve and vice versa. But I think really, what you need from your goalie is, especially early in the game, to make all the saves he should make and make a few he's not supposed to make. You know, not that he's going to make every one of them, but if you make a few saves that you're not supposed to make early in the game and your team can get up 1-0 or 2-0, which is what they did during the streak for the most part, it makes a huge difference.
I wonder, after that third goal went in last time, it was 3-0, and they went to a shot at Craig Berube. I wonder if he was thinking, gosh, I think I got to yank him. No, wait a minute, I can't yank him. He's a savior of the season. I bet what was going on in his mind at that split second, because sometimes goalies do get yanked in that situation, and he kept him in there, but it was a rough night at the office. 4 goals, 24 shots for him.
He was overdue for a night like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And what would you do tomorrow? They've always, of late, kept Jake for the road games, and you've got one on Sunday. He's played well in Minnesota in the past, but it feels like the natural...
Yeah.
Like,
Jake, Saturday. What
maybe
do you think?
Jake, forget this whole home thing. Hey, it's Jake's turn. Binner, you've been playing a lot. Take a break. We'll see you Sunday night in Minnesota.
Binner?
Binner.
Who are you?
Binner.
I'm one of the guys. Binner. Binzy.
Extensive hockey background of Martin's.
Yeah.
Binner there.
I'm just glad when Dan said, I'm just glad he collectively said, you guys know what it's like in terms of like a goalie. Because normally the basketball stuff, like, Frank, you know, as a former player, Frank, you know what it's like. And
my
Frank, you know,
in NBA career.
But I think I would go with Jake tomorrow and kind of end this whole idea that he doesn't play at home.
Well,
you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, it gives you an excuse to do that anyway. On the other hand, if to go with what Frank was saying, is he was a little surprised he didn't take him out last night. If you're trying to make a statement like, hey, we still believe in you or whatever, then you would come back with him. But it would make sense for them to go with Jake.
Now, for the people who don't know it, your son is an outstanding PR man for the St. Louis Blues, handles all the media interviews, does a great job.
He actually responds to text and phone calls.
So unlike
his boss.
Shot at Caruso.
In that way, he's groundbreaking.
Yes, it is. It's earth-shatter. You get a text back. No offense to Mike if he's listening.
Has he ever relayed any amount of flavor or humor or anything about Berube? The only thing I've ever gotten is at like one press conference, Jim Thomas was doing something in the locker room and he came and Jim asked a question that had already been asked. Well, if you would have been here, I asked that question a few minutes ago. Just kind of a little jot. But I haven't seen anything besides that. Have you?
No, there's very little. I mean, he pokes Jim a little bit.
Yeah.
But he is, I will say this, and I have not been around him a lot. He's not going to change. He's not going to put on a show for you. No. He is exactly who he is. And I think this team, maybe it's hockey in general, they love to spit out, you know, chew up and spit out coaches.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to take any crap from these guys. There's 0% chance he's
taking
any crap.
All you have to do is go to Craig Berube Fights on YouTube, and it kind of will affect the way you do interviews from here on out. Yeah.
But I think players even are like, okay, he's in charge. There's no doubt about it. And we can bitch and moan. He's not going to put up with it.
Well, he has that credibility. You know, he's got that playing reputation for, you know, kind of player he was. So that's sort of built in for him. But, first of all, Frank, to answer your question, you're under the mistaken idea that I talk about this stuff with my son, which I don't very much. He doesn't tell me anything, and I really don't want him to tell me anything like that because I don't want to get him in trouble. I come on a radio station, say something stupid.
I heard from somebody. Yeah. Like, boy, I wonder where he got that.
My son said that so-and-so is a horse's head.
But you
I'm
know,
hearing from people in the room.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who, frankly, I probably wouldn't even go to for quotes after the game. The Blues have had.
No, you're right.
Like that.
You're right. No, Berube.
I wouldn't even bother with it. And but the king of that is Joel Quenneville.
Yeah, he was bad. Great guy.
He's a great coach and a great guy.
But you didn't get much.
Those guys realize that they just have to say something. They don't have to say something.
Yeah, unlike Ken Hitchcock.
Well, Hitch doesn't care. You know, he has a different thing going on.
Well, and if the team's going to be bad, I need Hitch as my coach. If you're going to win, you could be boring.
Well, here's the difference. Like, you know, Berube's more like Jack Martin or Davis Payne.
Ooh, maybe the worst ever. Would you say Payne's the worst soundbite ever?
You know, Mike Kitchen didn't have a lot to say. Nice guy. But I think Davis Payne had kind of an authority about him. About it, but then he had nothing to say on top of it.
It was more of a volume thing, though, too, because he would give you really, really, really long. But not to put, you know, also a good guy or whatever, but just not quotable. So those guys, I wouldn't even worry about.
How quotable was Sutter? I
mean, Sutter was good.
Yeah.
Sutter, in his own even though crushes. Sutter may not have been eloquent, he had emotion that made good sound.
Well, he's so intense.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he was going to strangle you.
He could start a fight like in an empty room, as he used to say.
Yeah, he was insane.
How about that fact
in a good way,
that he and Federko are still, not at odds, but just not friends? And Bernie said he's over it. We were sitting at a Schnucks, I think in DePere, said he's over it. And I said, that's weird because I don't know if I am. That bothers me that those two aren't friends.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Let's take a short time out. But before we go to break, well, let me just say this. When we come back, Brian's going to give us some great insight on this Robert Kraft prostitution ring in Jupiter. The story's unbelievable. And Brian's going to tell us all about it. But, Dan, you have an incredible book out that hockey fans must get, especially with hockey being so popular once again in St. Louis because of the Red Hot Blues.
Well, especially with the historical things they're doing. But, yeah. I do have one out, Frank. Thank you. When the Blues Go Marching In, it's a coffee table style book that goes through the biggest moments in the 50 years of the Blues franchise in St. Louis. You know, and those moments aren't all highlights. Some of them are lowlights. You know, Doug Gilmore being arrested, or you know, Red Berenson being traded for Gary Unger, or change in ownership, or whatever. But there's just the 75 biggest moments in franchise history,
and the pictures are
filled
insane.
Very good, you know, stunning, rare pictures of those 50 years, and brilliant narrative by me, of course. And
I think the pictures are better. The narrative's good, yeah. But the pictures, like being a
lifelong, buy it for the pictures. Stay for the narrative.
The pictures. I don't know where you got some of these things.
Good timing, Frank. Thank you.
Spectacular.
No, and I have another book coming out, not to get ahead of what we're doing here, but in mid-April I have Celebration, which is the same kind of book about the Cardinals in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
Well, you better hurry, because Rob Rain just wrote a book about the 11-game winning streak, so you better.
Well,
you
can't beat Rob Rain. He's got a new Cardinal book coming out every
31 books in 31 years, I think, for Rob. All right, before we go to break, the McBride Homes Union Stimulus Program is back. McBride has teamed up with the local construction unions to bring you the best home buying opportunity of the year. Buy now, get McBride Homes' best deal on a new home, plus get an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the local unions. It's the Union Stimulus Program. It's only during the month of February. McBride has over 40 communities across Metro St. Louis with homes in every price point and every lifestyle. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on the Union Stimulus Program. And, Dan, by the way, how do you buy the book?
Well, you can get it anywhere, Frank. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. And it's at Reedy Press, who did the book, published the book. You can go to ReedyPress.com. Or you can call me. I have some, but I probably won't get my phone number out.
Yeah,
so
don't do that.
You'd have to run into me.
I see Hockey Bob's here. He's got plenty of money. He told us that last week, so he should be buying this book. Do you have the book yet?
Well,
you don't have to read. It's stuck full of great pictures.
Lots of pictures.
Why don't you buy a book, and it'll keep you busy for a while. Take it home and stay busy for a little while.
We'll break. We'll be right back.